Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is good, and He thinks of everything. I love to say, I always say that. I'm sure you're used to it by now, but He does. He thinks of all things. All things are considered with Him. And then He speaks, and He always gives us the very best option we can take. The Lord is foundational, very foundational. In His way and in His doings, He thinks of things that work. And whatever He revealed to us, He is well thought out. And it behooves us to research it and to get a greater understanding of what He's doing. And when we do our research and when we seek Him out, we're going to find out that He's right. He does things the right way. He does things in a good fashion. And He thinks of everybody involved. He even knows the plots of His enemies. And whatever He reveals to us to do, sometimes you can feel what not to do. Based on the past, when He gave me when He gives me an assignment, I know not to talk about my assignment to some people, because I already know what they'll do. I know what kind of advice they're going to give. And once people reveal any form of negativity, that's your cue to not talk too much in their presence. And that may sound harsh, but the work of God, if you want the wisdom of God to operate in your life, you're going to have to believe it. And you're going to have to speak it. And you're going to have to act on it with passion. And you can't do that when doubt starts, you can stop. Remember, all forms of doubt is like an off switch. And doubt in any form can turn things off. Now, with that in mind, I need to say this. Doubt is not to be feared. Don't fear whether you'll doubt or not. Just protect yourself against. Decide not to doubt. And reject all influences of doubt. It is rejectable. It is conquerable. It is destroyable. Remember, in the last broadcast, we talked about fear. Fear is a surrendering belief. You can decide to never, ever surrender to any evil the rest of your days. You can decide to never doubt. You can decide and reject all forms of unbelief. Now, remember, unbelief is different than doubt. It's bolder and meaner. Unbelief is rejection against truth. When they stoned Stephen, the rebellious Jews who stoned Stephen, when he preached, he taught well. He taught the word of God. And he taught it, he spoke from the foundation up. And he built his case. He built a case before them that Jesus is Lord. And they stopped their ears and killed him and stoned him. And they did it with passion. They did it to murder him. They murdered him. Because they decided not to believe. Now, when people are that way, God can't help them. They're going to die and go straight to hell unless they repent. And what did he do? Stephen prayed for them. He saw Jesus standing up, and he prayed for him. And Paul, Apostle Paul, was one of the people that held the stoner's coat. Now, Paul didn't stone him, but Paul held the coat, and he was in it because he held the coat for the people that were stoning him. He had something to do with it. He even had Stephen's blood on his hands because he held the coat for people that were stoning him. But Stephen interceded, and Paul benefited from that intercession. But when the enemy comes to get you to doubt, that's your off switch. And it can turn off the whole process. If you listen to people who try to drench your fire with their cold water, watered down doubt. If you listen to them and that seed of doubt starts processing you, you'll stop where God started. And remember, what the Lord spoke under the anointing should be processed and followed, because he evaluated everything and he gave you something that's going to truly work. And he trusted you to do his will. You had at the moment he gave you any form of an assignment, any assignment at all, if he told you to do something for him, if you follow through, it will work. You had what you needed to begin the moment he told you to do it. And some people, it was God's wisdom to give them that instruction. It was perfect wisdom that they passed tests for him to do that. So once it happens for you, it's a blessing. It's an opportunity, a golden opportunity. I'll even say a platinum opportunity. It's very valuable. And if you begin the process, you're going to see great results. But if you let somebody talk you out of it, remember, the devil can't stop your works, but if he can get you to change your mind and opinions against God, then he tempted you to stop it yourself. He can't stop it, but you can. We continue the work of God because we decide to, and we believe in what we're doing. Now, with that said, when God gives you something in your heart, when he speaks from his heart to yours, you're the only person on earth who has that assignment. You're the captain of that assignment. Other people are not the captain of that assignment. They don't see what you see, and they cannot see what you see. They do not have that assignment. Just like when God told Adam not to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he had it firsthand. Eve had it secondhand. She was deceivable. Adam could not be deceived against that commandment. Eve could be deceived against that commandment, and she was. That's why sin is transferred from the male. Because Adam knew better, and he willfully sinned. He had direct commandment from God. So when God gives you an assignment, nobody else on earth, not even me, nobody, no pastor, nobody at all, even the wonderful people that God used mightily on TV and all the best prophets in the world, they don't have that assignment. You do. And if the Lord used them to confirm your assignment, when they're not speaking under the anointing, they might tell you not to do it because they don't have that vision. You do. Nobody has my vision for the assignments that God gave me. I do. It's impossible because God told me to do it. I have the direct, everybody who God gives an assignment to, they have the direct commandment to do that thing. They have the sanction for it. Nobody else. And the people that assist, those that help you do it, the Lord will put it on your heart to help them. And they'll see you about helping you. Whoever the Lord has to help you do the assignment, they'll see you about helping you do it. If somebody tells you not to do it, they're out of bounds. Even though God loves them, they're still wrong. They don't see it. And they'll say, they'll give you bad advice because they don't have that sanction on the inside. Even anointed people who once, I've seen people who are anointed and the Lord used them to confirm things, they may tell you to do it another way. When the Lord reveals to you a hot spot, that's what you got to do. You have to protect it. Just like I said in the previous broadcast, we are more than conquerors. You are well capable of carrying it out if that's what you want to do. God was wise to get you to do it. He see more in you than anybody else can. He even see more in you than you do. But I'm telling you from experience, nobody has that assignment and nobody will believe it like you do. And if you're the point man, if you're the captain of that assignment, God will, you are well capable. If God gave you an assignment at all, if you're willing, you can follow it through. And it will be a wonderful work. But nobody else has that vision in them. Not your vision. They'll have their own vision. Or whatever God revealed to them, but not yours. So if you keep it alive, it will be alive. Because remember, faith looks to God. Faith is in all time, in all present tense time, faith is looking to God. Faith looks to God presently, expecting a future. And it acts presently towards the future. Now, trust is different. That's the other side of faith. It's a noun. Trust is not active. Faith is the active part of trust. Because you trust God, you act on His word and you speak His word. Because you trust God, you speak His word and act on it. Trust helps you cooperate. Trust is relying on God. Relying is not acting. Now, when people give advice, they don't mean any harm. It's impossible for them to see what you see. And remember this, the word of God is a charge. When God tells you to do something, that charges your heart. It's up to you to keep that flame burning. And I use my network all the time. My network is all the people who God used to speak in my life. And I don't tell them my business. I don't tell them what's going on. But the Lord systematically used them to say the right thing at the right time. And I let it fan the flames. My pastor, whenever the Lord give me something different that I'm not used to, he always confirms it. And I continue with the word of God. Now, trust is the relying on God. It's not active. It's being steadfast. It's not doing anything. Your faith is the active part. But trust relies on God. And trust knows that God will do His part. Trust won't do God's part for him. Trust allows God to do His side, and we do our side by faith. See, we respond to trust by using our faith. And doubt is always an enemy against trust. Doubt is there to get you to mistrust God. It's the opposite of faith and trust. That's the wrench in the works. But it has to be allowed. It has to be accepted. You have to trust it instead of God's word for it to work. Once you allow any form of doubt, it starts turning off the process. And you start feeling downcast. A sorrow comes with it. Just like when the rich man walked away from Jesus. He didn't give away all his goods and help the poor. He walked away in sorrow. Anytime you feel sorrow, check out the doubt. Where are you not willing to obey God? And why? You have to protect your faith. When the Lord gives you an assignment or anything to do, it's a charge and you can feel the joy in it. The first gift to any assignment is peace. You have a peace about it. You can feel it. It's tangible. And when you act on it, a joy arises within, even though it's hard work sometimes. That joy arises within, even though it's hard work sometimes. Even though you know you enter into a lot of work, a joy arises within. So if you keep the flame burning, it will burn, and you'll do your part, and it will work, and it'll be a finished work that nobody can stop. The assignment that God gives you to do, when He anoints you, you have His ability to do that thing. With that being said, when you have God's ability and you're anointed to do something, you can do it now in real time. When you're anointed to preach, you can preach. You can say things. A lot of times people traditionally go prepare a message. The part that's anointed is what God reveals to you. And it's fine to go and get scriptures and do an outline. Sometimes the Lord, that's in the instruction. And sometimes the Lord just wants me to start talking. Many of the broadcasts that I do, I study the word all the time, often. And when I have opportunity to do a broadcast, most of the time the Lord just have me to start talking, because I'm already anointed to do this. I have God's ability to do this. And I do it that way. Sometimes He may give me a scripture and I may study something. I just follow how the Holy Spirit guides me to do it. Sometimes He give me a theme. Sometimes He give me a thought. But when you're anointed to do something, you have God's ability. Now, along with the anointing, you have to mix faith and just act on it. The anointing, whatever I do under the anointing is sweatless effort, because that's a gift. That's a grace and a sanction. Whatever you're anointed to do, that's the easy part. Staying in faith and trust and doing, and the work of the ministry, that's the work side. That's where you'll use your faith. Your trust is the glue that holds it all together. You're looking to God. See, faith looks to God. Faith relies on God. Relying on God is that's the trust side of faith. A man can have faith and not trust. When people have faith and not trust, they stop using their faith. They stop using the faith that they truly have in the direction God wants them to use it. See, because you trust God, you're going to use your faith in the direction God has sanctioned you to use it. If God told me to do something, when things get hard, I trust that God said do it, and I continue to use my faith. I don't stop looking at God and start looking at my challenges. I keep looking to God and I destroy my challenges, because I'm more than a conqueror. I do the work side, I do the fight side, because I trust Him. See, trust keeps you aligned so that you'll use your faith and your dedication. And dedication don't have to last forever. That's why I say you got to fan the flames. Once you got a flame burning, it's up to you to keep it and not let it go out. Let it be like a torch. Nobody's going to encourage you. You're going to have to. The Lord will use people to encourage you, but most of the time when people encourage you, they'll do it under the anointing. Not out of their mind and not out of their heart. But sometimes people can sense that you're on the right track, and they'll say encouraging words. But I've noticed I've gotten my best encouragement through when people were speaking, when they were operating under the anointing. More than when they were not operating under the anointing. You know, when I'm doing broadcasts and ministry, and sometimes just talking to people in conversation, I'm operating in the, under the anointing. All right. If I'm talking about my lunch, what I'm going to eat, if I'm talking about football, if I'm talking about cars or how to fix cars or what problems I had with them, that's not anointed speech. That's just thirsty. All right. So if me and you hold a conversation and we're just talking about magazine topics, such as what you're going to eat for lunch, the Tide and Tiger football game, the Iron Bowl, that's not anointed. And then if you, while I'm talking about football or cars or food or something like that, and then you turn around and say, well, I think I might try doing this. And the Lord already told you what to do. And you ask me my opinion. And I'm not under the anointing. We're just having a normal conversation. And you ask me my opinion. That may not turn out to be an anointed speech. I might tell you how I do it. So the people who give you the wrong opinion or the wrong advice, they mean you no harm. Don't get mad at them. Sometimes what the Lord is looking at, it requires the anointing to be able to sanction it, to be able to encourage it. Because it's way beyond the thoughts of men. The anointing is always way beyond the thoughts of men. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, is it making sense now? Something that came to you from the heart of God, something that you must do, it's sanctioned. The Lord thought of everything, and he gave you something to do. That's way beyond all of our abilities put together to come up with. There's no way in the world that I can originate something like that. You know, with my best intentions and efforts, I can't do it. Because it's not by might. I might be more than a conqueror. I might be mighty. But to give you something that's going to work, no. That's out of my lane. I can't do it. All right, now you get a group of people together. Now that's power. That's more than just might. That's power. They can't do it either. Let's do it this way. Let's get all the preachers, all the good, God-fearing, chosen preachers. Not just, I'm talking about the ones that was called and chosen. Let's get them all together. All the best names there is. The best prophets. They can't do it either. They can't give you an original sanction. They can't tag it. They can't say how good it'll work. Because they could not come up with it in the first place. But the Holy Spirit can. But under the anointing, they can encourage you. Under the anointing, they can sanction it. Under the anointing, they can say it's going to work. Under the anointing. But out of their mind, no. We just can't do that. It's impossible. It is impossible. But under the anointing, yes. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Every work that God gives has its own sanction. The people that God gives things to do, every time he gives us something, we have that charge. We feel it. Other people can't feel what you feel. And they can't see what you see. And from their viewpoint, what God has given you can seem small and even insignificant. They may even question whether it'll work or not. And they may even question whether you'll follow through with it or not. And sometimes as they try to encourage, they end up discouraged. What comes from the Holy Spirit is well evaluated. And the Lord has prepared you to carry it forth. You've passed tests. The moment God gives you something to do, he sanctions you to do it, he made a decision. You are by far the best choice. And if he has to, he always keeps a second plan in place in case of failure, because this work has to happen. But when the Lord gives somebody something to do and he chooses you, you can pull it off. When Saul was anointed to be king, everybody didn't think he could do it. Even he didn't. But when he failed, the Lord said, he showed him that if he had done the things he should have, he would have been established. That meant that he could have been established. He had every opportunity. All he had to do is choose to do things God's way. Now, David, he said, because he didn't kill Agag and because he didn't kill all the Amalekites and he let the people bring their possessions back, that God was going to, in other words, fire him and give the kingdom to somebody that's better than him. Now, David was a better choice. David became king and he did honorably. And when he made mistakes, he repented. But Saul didn't find repentance because he willfully disobeyed God. He had a charge and rejected it. God told him what to do. He told him to kill all of the Amalekites, all of them, from the children on up, everybody. The older people, the king, and all the way down, everybody was supposed to die. From Amalek. They had become a satanic stronghold against Israel. Even their possessions. See, whenever you do work and you earn something, that's part of your life. God wanted all of that gone. All of it. They weren't supposed to use anything from Amalek. No animal, no possession, nothing. Everything was supposed to be gone. Destroyed. All the people and all the animals kill everything. The Lord do things for a reason. And you have to trust him and use your faith to carry out your trust in him. And we have the same responsibility to do things God's way. Remember, when it comes from the Holy Spirit, when it comes from his heart, the heart of God, when the Holy Spirit gives you a sanction, you have to mix faith with it and make it happen. You do your part. And God can do his part. Remember, God responds to us. He responds to you. Heaven responds to you. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In appearance, you're not going to look like you can do this thing to most people, even anointed people. Even though they encourage you when they're speaking under the anointing, the same person can be used to discourage you. In personal talk, you don't have to go and ask people do what they think, because they can't answer you. The best thing to do is to obey God and do what he already sanctioned. And in my walk with God, he always confirmed his word when I was in faith. If I drifted out of faith, he'd go silent. Just like a person that won't answer their cell phone. And I go and ask him about it. He's silent. When I'm in faith about it, he confirms it. And then he chooses who to use. He'll cause people to say what I need at the right time. I don't have to worry about it. As long as I'm in faith about it and determined to do something. As long as I'm in faith about it. If my determination is low, that's not a problem. If as long as I'm in faith about it, he confirms his word. But I don't just let him confirm his word and do nothing. I do like Mary. I ponder it in my heart. The Lord taught me to do that. So that's what I do. When Gabriel told her what to do, she pondered it in her heart. When John the Baptist leaped in her mother's womb, when he leaped in his mother's womb, when Mary was near and Jesus was in her womb, she pondered it in her heart. She made her heart stronger and stronger towards the will of God. And she gave birth to Jesus Christ. And she was a blessing to him. Watch this. And she believed on him. And she believed on him. Mary believed on Jesus Christ, her son, and got saved. Now, that's how we have to do the plan of God in our lives. We have to believe it. We have to believe it. And it will work. Jesus said, these works and greater works will he do that believes. If you don't believe in what the Holy Spirit has sanctioned you to do, if you don't believe in it, you're not going to fulfill it. Faith looks to God in present, current time. It looks to God consistently, currently. Trust looks to the future from a past position. Faith looks to God now, currently, continually, without failure. And doubt looks at the problem. Doubt looks at the challenge. Doubt looks at the people. Doubt considers what others think. Pride looks within, what I think, personally. Putting my opinion over God's. But faith looks to God currently and consistently. Now, with all this said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.